7 minutes now past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine today. It is time for the State Capitol Report as we welcome Sean Johnson into the studio, our WPR state government reporter. We'll be taking a closer look at the third and final debate in the U.S. Senate race contest between Tammy Baldwin and Tommy Thompson. And some questions for you out there in the audience to think about this morning. What did you take away from Friday's debate, and who do you think won? Has either of the candidates said or done anything in these debates to change your mind? Did they do so on Friday? Give us a call if you'd like at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email works too. That address is talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it is great to have you along. And on Friday night, what were you up to?
Watching the debate, along with, you know, I don't know how many people were watching that, but in a close race like this one, maybe more than would have otherwise.
And so this debate was the third and final debate in between Tammy Baldwin and Tommy Thompson as they vie for what has turned out to be a very tight race. And, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, I don't know if people were thinking we were going to be in this particular position just a week away from the election.
Yeah, we don't know how tight it is at this point. I mean, the last Marquette poll that was out showed it about as tight as could be. Other polls, an NBC Marist Wall Street Journal poll had Baldwin comfortably ahead. Comfortably 5 points or 4 points, not so comfortable. But they've shown her with the slight edge. We'll have a better idea this week as Marquette comes out with its final poll before the election. And I believe there's a Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert poll coming out this week. But yeah, you just get the sense from watching these candidates that they believe it's close. And, you know, they don't really want to give an inch. And as one launches an attack on a new subject area like Iran or like 9/11, you know, in that case, those were attacks launched by Tommy Thompson. Tammy Baldwin is there with a counterattack, and they just been a very aggressive campaign.
And I read an article yesterday or this morning saying that this particular race, if not the most negative in the nation, is among the most negative in the nation, or has turned into that.
Yeah, and that was, I think it was in the Journal Sentinel, and they talked to this Kantar Media Group, which tracks TV advertising throughout the country on, you know, on every topic, but on they have a political advertising division, and in terms of negative, they're talking about attacks that or campaign ads that attack their opponent. They might also say something nice about the candidate who's running the ad, but attacks on the opponent in commercials. And by that measure, Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race is the most negative. And for those of us who's been here watching it, you'd say, yeah, you know, I'm not terribly surprised to hear that, because really from day one, this campaign, the general election campaign, especially between Thompson and Baldwin, there's just been a conscious decision by those camps to tear into the other candidate.
So as you were watching this on Friday night, this third and final debate, and a pretty big one, you know, I did see the Wausau debate. I was in the audience for that one 2 weeks or so ago. And, you know, they were standing. They were sort of behind lecterns. And it seemed there that they were being pretty aggressive. Now, as you sat and watched on Friday night, they were around a table. Mike Gushue was hosting. I don't know if it seemed any friendlier. Or how did it appear from your vantage point?
I mean, there were moments, I'd say, during some exchanges where it was a little more aggressive. But if you look back at what they said on Friday, they rarely drifted from the script, you know, both of them,
from no matter their stump speeches.
Yeah, right. I mean, no matter what questions Mike Gushue was asking them and how long the discussion period went on, they never really budged from stuff you've been hearing them say for quite a while. I'd say Tammy Baldwin especially, you could kind of go through her answers from the debate on Friday night, and they're remarkably similar to what she was saying when she kicked off this race. I mean, she's been on message, as they say in politics. So, but there was an exchange on 9/11, which was a new issue, essentially, in the sense that it hadn't come up prior to the previous debate. something that Tommy Thompson raised last week, started running an ad attacking Tammy Baldwin for voting no against a 2006 resolution in Congress honoring the victims of 9/11. Tammy Baldwin has said that the reason she voted no on that resolution is because it politicized 9/11, and you know, she voted yes for nine other resolutions. But that was one area of the debate where you heard, you know, I'd say a borderline emotional exchange between the candidates. And listen first here to Tammy Baldwin.
I am outraged that Tommy Thompson would question my patriotism. He has personally profited from 9/11, and now he is trying to politically profit from 9/11. I voted nine times to honor the victims and first responders of 9/11. I voted three times to allow the Congressional Gold Medal to those families. I voted and worked very hard to pass a 9/11 health bill, and I voted to hunt down Osama bin Laden and the perpetrators of 9/11. Words are very important, and I believe you should never politicize 9/11. And when a resolution on the eve of a hotly contested election sought to politicize the solemn resolution that we annually pass, I voted no.
So there was a, you know, a strong defense by Tammy Baldwin of her no vote there. Tommy Thompson, though, as he has attacked Tammy Baldwin for the vote she took in 2006, the Baldwin campaign turned around and the next day was running ads against Tommy Thompson for the way that he handled a health care contract for 9/11 first responders. And Tommy Thompson was the Health and Human Services Secretary in the Bush administration during 9/11. After his tenure at HHS, he, you know, went to the private sector and worked for a variety of companies, including a Wisconsin-based company that won this contract. There were delays in the delivering of that health care by this company. And the Baldwin campaign has said that Thompson has essentially profited from this contract and from 9/11 because he made $3 million when the company was sold. So Thompson had a chance to respond to those allegations and to talk about Baldwin's vote in the debate. And here's what Tommy Thompson said.
I never questioned her patriotism. I questioned her judgment. All the congressmen, only 22 people voted against it. Every person from Wisconsin voted for it, including Nancy Pelosi. Everybody voted for it except 22 individuals. 95% voted for it. It bothers me because I was there helping out. And if you talk to George Pataki and Mayor Giuliani, they said I was the force of nature because I was up there so often helping people get things. And Congress didn't give the appropriation. She's talking about some things people didn't get. It. That's true. They didn't. But it wasn't because we didn't try.
So Thompson's saying that my company didn't, you know, move as quickly as we would have liked to because we were waiting on federal money.
Interesting, and you could really hear the, you know, even on the audio. I mean, it sounded very emotional in a sense. I mean, they were definitely sticking to talking points, but it sounds like they've got a lot of, I don't know what phrase to use. This is a topic that resonates with both of them.
Yeah, and it's so new to the campaign, and it has become sort of the closing argument in the campaign for the candidates, or at least the area in which they're trading barbs right now, in a close race. I think I do think you could swap this out for another topic, and you'd probably hear that same level of aggression there. But obviously, 9/11 was you know, one of the pivotal moments in our country here, so that just adds to the, you know, the emotional level.
One of the things we've heard a lot about in all the debates to this point is the whole issue of what's going on with the budget and who's going to be better equipped in the U.S. Senate to fix some of the budget challenges that are facing the country. And this came up again on Friday.
Yeah, and moderator Mike Gushee really pressed them on whether they would support some type of a grand bargain like a Simpson-Bowles commission report, which recommends a combination of tax increases and cuts to government programs. And Gushee pressed Thompson on whether he'd support something that included some type of tax increases in order to balance the budget.
Well, I'm hearing you say you don't want to raise taxes as part of some deal. Is that true? Is that accurate? You do not want to raise taxes?
I do not
want
to raise taxes unless there's a... I didn't say that. I said I do not want to raise taxes. I want to cut the programs by 5% across the board, and I want to give the secretaries the power to reorganize and eliminate programs. If we get a grand deal so that we can absolutely do it, I think the Simpson-Bowles has got to be on the table. I want my plan on the table.
All right, so Tommy Thompson saying that he would like to have something like that on the table, something that Democrats have said since he said that is that, Governor Thompson signed Grover Norquist's pledge, Americans for Tax Reform. It's a fairly hardline pledge that Grover Norquist gets nearly every Republican member of Congress to sign, and that pledge says, that the candidate will oppose any and all efforts to increase the marginal income tax rates for individuals and oppose any net reduction or elimination of deductions and credits unless matched dollar for dollar by further reducing tax rates. So, in essence, it says you can't have any net tax increase in order to balance the budget, which would seem to rule out Simpson-Bowles. And Grover Norquist was especially critical of Simpson-Bowles when it came out and, calling it a huge tax increase. So, if Tommy Thompson were to, support some type of a deal, as he was talking about in the debate there, might draw the ire of Mr. Norquist. So Tammy Baldwin was asked sort of the flip side of that question. And because she has talked about some type of tax increase on millionaires, in order to balance the budget, calls it the Buffett plan. It's endorsed by Warren Buffett, but she hasn't really talked about where she'd support cuts. And so she was asked, whether she might support some type of cuts to entitlements.
Are you saying the same thing Richard Trumka said this past week, the head of the AFL-CIO? He says, I don't want any of this grand bargain stuff because I don't want entitlements touched. Is that what you're saying? You do not want entitlements touched?
Look, the first thing I would do with Medicare is get rid of Tommy Thompson's sweetheart deal with the drug companies that made it illegal for Medicare to bargain with the big pharmaceutical companies for better prices for our senior citizens. That would save us $156 billion. The VA bargains with the drug companies and gets discounts of 40 to 58% lower than our senior citizens get. And so that's one of the immediate things I would do. But in terms of cutting benefits
in the age, means testing, you would not favor that. That would not be acceptable
to you. People paid in. I regard Medicare as not just a program, but a promise.
And Tammy Baldwin at last Friday's debate between her and Tommy Thompson talking about her stance on budget issues. We're going to be taking a break now. When we come back, we'll rejoin Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and continue on with the state capitol report. Wisconsin weather for today, it's going to be sunny and cool. Highs will be in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, clear and cold, back down to the 20s and low 30s. Tomorrow, sunny and cool. Highs in the 40s, lows in the 30s. I'm Gene Purcell. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some days we talk about this.
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
And other days we talk about this.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Hear conversations of all kinds. The Kathleen Dunn Show, 9 to 11 every Monday through Thursday on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from our contributing listeners. They pay for hosts and reporters to keep you informed. But what they're really paying for is much bigger. Editorial independence, real journalism, real content. Members make the difference. Give today at WPR.org.
Support also comes from the Madison Symphony Orchestra, presenting the Naughton Twins, a Madison-born piano duo, along with Schubert's Ninth Symphony, November 2nd through 4th in Overture Hall. Tickets available at madisonsymphony.org.
22 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin's public radio state government reporter Sean Johnson with me, and we are talking about the Friday debate between former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and Representative Tammy Baldwin as they vie for that U.S. Senate seat. And Sean, one of the topics that they've been hitting on throughout the campaign, of course, Tommy Thompson, this is one of his areas of expertise because of his background in the Bush administration, the whole issue of health care.
Yeah, they've hit on health care, and health care has been an issue throughout the country, but I think it's been slightly different here because of Tommy Thompson's background and because Tammy Baldwin has been willing to kind of wage a counterattack on the issue of health care. And she's been able to do it because Thompson was, you know, the architect, so-called architect, of Medicare Part D. And she has really hammered him on a provision of that law that says that prohibits the federal government from negotiating to get lower prescription drug prices, something along the lines of what's in the VA's prescription drug benefit. And so you've had this this back and forth, Thompson attacking Baldwin for supporting the president's health care law, which is an attack you've heard everywhere in the U.S., and then Baldwin hitting Thompson on Medicare Part D. And it's been a way for both candidates to just hit home their central message. Tammy Baldwin says Tommy Thompson's not the same guy he knew in Wisconsin. He kind of cashed in on government service. It's been a way for Thompson to say Baldwin's too liberal for Wisconsin. She wanted to go even farther than the president's health care law, and she's too liberal, too left for Wisconsin. They both got a chance to respond to those attacks in the debate. And so Tammy Baldwin, on the issue of support for the federal health care law, defended her support of that plan and actually attacked Thompson for wanting to tear it down.
The last thing Americans want or need is to have the U.S. Senate and President rip it up and start all over again with a big new debate. What we now need to do is work across the party aisle and make this work. I've listened to Tommy Thompson talk repeatedly about what he would do if he got his way and what he would replace it with. 80% of what he says is already in the bill. I would advise him and admonish him, read the bill.
And so then Tommy Thompson had a chance to talk about Medicare Part D and basically said, yeah, I did author that.
The truth of the matter is, I am the architect of Part D. And Part D, I just want people to understand, Part D is the first major improvement. We came to Washington in 2001, first major improvement to Medicare since 1965. The first major one. And you know something else? 90% of the seniors like it. 85% of the seniors say it saves them money.
So Thompson's saying to seniors, when you use Medicare Part D to get drugs, yeah, that was me. So it's actually, though, a defense you haven't heard from Thompson too much in this campaign. I mean, the Thompson campaign mentions it. But it's really been just a campaign so much about attacking the other side that, they've attacked Baldwin for the Affordable Care Act. Baldwin has attacked Thompson for the Medicare Part D deal. And, so to hear them both, defend their positions there was a little bit different than you're hearing from the campaign if you only see it in 30-second TV ads.
And here in Wisconsin, of course, this Senate seat looms pretty large. Herb Kohl has held the seat for years and years and years. It's the first opportunity, to make a big change like this. But in terms of nationwide, I think it's looming pretty large there as well. I mean, it's a seat that plays a number of roles, not just here in Wisconsin, but also throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, if Republicans want to take control of the U.S. Senate in many or if not most or of the analyses I've read, they need the Wisconsin Senate seat. And it just seems like any scenario that envisions them and the majority envisions them picking up Wisconsin. And so there's a reason you're seeing all this national money flowing in from groups for Baldwin, from groups for Thompson. And it's because this is a pivotal race, and because it's close, and they feel like, each side feels like they've got a good candidate who could win this thing, the money is coming here. In terms of state significance? Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who's going to represent Wisconsin for the next 6 years. It's both the sweeping Republican victories in 2010. This is a, you know, kind of a measure for Wisconsin of where things stand right now. Has the state, is the state shifting toward a red state, or can a progressive like Tammy Baldwin from Madison pull this thing off and represent Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate?
So it'll be interesting to watch, and just a week to go. So I hope I'm able to see some sort of advertising or get some sort of information in the next week
or
so.
I think the campaigns should really consider running some ads. It might be a close one.
It might be a close one. One other thing we want to talk about before we let you go, the Government Accountability Board last week issued a ruling on observers at polling places. Lots of talk, of course, about voter fraud. People want to be on hand to make sure that doesn't happen. The rules are observed and so forth. What did the GAB say?
Yeah, well, this will come up if you vote in some polling places throughout Wisconsin. The GAB basically said that observers who are there, you know, they can be there from political parties or
campaigns or whatever.
What have you. They have to stay at least 6 feet away from people when they're voting. And this was contested by Republicans and, you know, Republican groups who said now that the GAB is accepting electronic documents from a smartphone or something to register at the polls on Election Day, because we still have same-day registration. Since you have that, we ought to be able to get closer so we can see what's really on that smartphone. The GAB said, no, you know, we have to balance the voters' rights to privacy here. And, you know, you're basically, if you're an observer, you're observing the process, making sure it's handling everything handled properly. You're not looking at somebody's utility bill and verifying that they are from that address or something along those lines. So if it's a close race, all these rulings by the GAB or every election practice will come into question. If it's, if it's a few points, then, we'll put those under less of a microscope.
All right. Well, Sean Johnson, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll see you a week from now, just a day before the big election.
Wow. Thanks, Gene.
I thought it would never get here. Sean Johnson's been with us for the last half hour or so as part of our state capitol report, talking about that Senate debate between Tommy Thompson and Tammy Baldwin. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the issue of education in the state. Democratic State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee is with us, and he'll be talking about some of the economic reforms that he would like to see implemented. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.